We're ready whenever you are.
Ready?
All right, good evening. We'll bring the first meeting of 2019 for the Winter Springs Code Enforcement to order. Ask everybody if they could please silence their devices before we get started as mine goes off.
Before mine goes off.
And with that, we'll have a roll call.
Chairperson Matthew Criswell.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Greg Guerrero.
Here.
Board Member Carol Giltz.
Here.
Board Member Maurice Caprow.
Here.
Board Member Bill Poe.
Here.
Oops, sorry.
Board Member Dennis Robinson.
Here.
Senior City Attorney Jennifer Nix.
Here.
Thank you. If we could please stand, we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll take a small second to remember those who are in the bite for us every day, and for those of us who might again miss another paycheck next week because of the government shutdown.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. I think we can just proceed right on, if I'm not mistaken. Captain Jack, floor is yours, sir.
All right, well, first off, welcome back. I hope everybody had a happy new year, happy holidays, and let's see what 2019 brings us.
We will.
I do request to pull item 500 from the agenda. I got a call yesterday that they had finished their work. I went by this morning, verified it, and they are in compliance. So I'm asking that that be pulled from the agenda.
500.
As well as items 502 and 503, they're both in compliance.
That's 502 and 503.
Oh, wow.
Was that all to today? Officer McLaren, did those just come in today?
Those were in compliance as of yesterday.
I think that's the whole goal, is not to have them up here, so.
Absolutely, voluntary compliance.
Doing good, thank you. So we'll start at 501?
501.
I think I gotta swear, I gotta do their, what is this called?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
If we could have everybody forward who's gonna give testimony tonight to be sworn in. So you guys give me off on vacation, and then I can't remember what I'm supposed to do up here.
Yeah, we've been away too long.
Yeah, see, look at this. I'm missing the whole front part of it. All right.
Can do officers now or later?
We can go back and do part one of the regular agenda. We need to, again, for the calendar year, elect a chairperson and a vice chairperson.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Having sat on this board for a couple of years, and with the leadership that you've provided us, I'd like to leave your name in nomination for chairman for again this upcoming year, sir.
I second.
Okay. I will definitely take it, but if anybody else would like to throw their name in the hat, that would be fine with me as well. Hearing none, I'll accept the nomination, and I think we need to have a roll call, please.
Board Member Poe.
Aye.
Chairperson Criswell.
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Guerrero.
Aye.
Board Member Robinson.
Aye.
Board Member Giltz.
Aye.
Board Member Caprow.
Aye.
Thank you. I appreciate the kind words, Mr. Poe. Moving on to Vice Chairperson.
I'd like to make a motion that we keep Greg Guerrero in that position. He's filled in for you once or twice and did a good job. So I would like to keep him on for another year.
Second, Mr. Chair.
Well, I'd like to decline that, and I've been here quite a long time, and there's so many adequate people on this board. I'd like to give them a chance to work their way up a little bit, if that's okay. If no one goes for it, then I'll stay at it. So.
Is there anybody else that would like to fill in or sit in for vice chairperson or give a nomination? Hearing none.
Then I'll stay.
Mr. Guerrero?
Then I'll take it. Thank you. Thank you for your confidence.
We do need a roll call on that as well.
Board Member Giltz?
Aye.
Board Member Poe?
Aye.
Board Member Capro?
Aye.
Chairperson Criswell?
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Herrero?
Aye.
Board Member Robinson?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. So we've got that out of the way. We can get back to our second agenda item, which is the Office of the City request of the Code Enforcement Board review and approve the minutes all the way back from October, I believe. Did anybody have a chance to review those?
I did, Mr. Chair, and I recommend approval.
And I'll second it.
Got a motion and a second. We'll ask for a roll call on that.
Chairperson Criswell?
Aye.
Board Member Robinson?
Aye.
Board Member Giltz?
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Herrero?
Aye.
Board Member Poe?
Aye.
Board Member Capro?
Aye.
Okay, now that we know that 500, 502, and 503 are out, we can start with 501 if you'd like.
Yes, sir. This will be item 501, case number 2018-CE003164 for an address of 618 Locust Court. The owners are Deborah and Gregory Malinchek. The violation is Winter Springs City Ordinance 19-302, tampering with city utilities. The date of service was December 12, 2018. The inspector is myself, Code Officer McLaren. On December 12, 2018, I was notified via email from Mike Maximenko, the utility billing manager for the city of Winter Springs, there was a situation related to tampering with the city utility meter. The email stated that the resident at 618 Locust Court had not paid their utility bill, and on December 5th of 2018, the water was shut off due to such. A lock was placed on the meter to prevent the water service from being turned back on until such payment was received. And approximately a week later, it was noticed that the residents were still consuming water, and when they investigated, it was discovered that the lock was cut off and water service was turned back on. This action was not performed by any authorized city personnel. And to reflect that, I have the statement form that Mr. Maximenko filled out and the prosecution release as such to enter into evidence. Mr. Maximenko did file a criminal offense report with the police department, providing a statement and a prosecution release. City utility staff did place another lock on the water meter, which was subsequently also cut off. In accordance with City Ordinance 2-60, subsection C, the violation constitutes an uncorrectable violation, and the residents and City Hall were posted with notices mailed out for a code board hearing, certified first-class return receipt requested, as well as first-class mail. There's been no contact with the resident at all reference to this. I recommend that the property be found in violation of City Ordinance as cited. In accordance with City Ordinance 2-63, subsection B, the property be fined the maximum amount allowed for violations which are considered to be uncorrectable, which is $5,000, and I'll amend this to also have that fine be placed as a lien on the property.
Officer, I have one question. Did you read this word for word before, or
yes.
Did you? You did?
Yes.
Okay. Then we'll enter this into evidence. Does anybody on the board like to read it? It's word for word. I thought it was. I just wanted to make sure. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes. Now, this is $5,000 for any violation up to this point.
It's $5,000. Due to the fact that it's considered uncorrectable, there's no actions that he can take to correct this, and it would be a maximum fine for just this one occurrence of $5,000.
Now, you're going to put, they put another lock on it. What if he cuts it again?
I'll bring him back for another.
Another $5,000?
Yes.
Is this a misdemeanor?
It is, yes.
Okay, when does it become a felony?
Have to be a certain amount of.
The dollar value of the water that he's taken have to reach a certain amount of value of over $300 before they would look at a felony prosecution.
Okay.
So a repeat offender wouldn't be considered three times.
A fine would be considered. It has to be the value of the water that's being used. Okay. That's interesting. We never had a case like this before.
It's my first time, too.
I have a question on this one.
Yes, sir.
He was fined $5,000 for the first time he cut off the lock, or the second time he cut off the lock, or both times?
Well, just for both times at this time. As far as I know, it's been on at least two occasions. I don't believe they've gone back and put another lock on it. I believe they were trying to handle it through different venues. But as far as I'm concerned, this is just for the cutting of the lock off.
He hasn't contacted you at all yet. But they're still living there.
Yes.
Not sure that it makes a difference, but just for our purposes up here, are these just regular looped master locks, or are they the round cylinders that...
I believe they're regular just looped master locks.
So with bolt cutters, no, we're not talking about any kind of mechanical device.
Just regular bolt cutters.
How did you find this?
Does anybody have any other questions? Do we have any discussion? Do we have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move to find response in violation of the city code, and since it's an uncorrectable violation, order that they be fined $5,000 for this uncorrectable violation.
Second, Mr. Chair.
So I have some discussion. I think we need to talk about leaning the property. Or would we wait for a second offense to come back?
I mean, as far as the board order goes, if it's, you know, once the order is entered, whatever you all decide and it's recorded, it's going to be a lien upon the property.
Okay.
And I will note, just since the two sections that were mentioned were 260E as to it being uncorrectable, and then 263B, that 263B does state that the fine for an uncorrectable violation shall not exceed $5,000 per violation. And just to note, as far as determining the amount of the fine, that they are the same three factors that you all weigh statutorily as provided for in the city code, which is, of course, the gravity of the violation, anything they did to correct the violation, and any previous violations committed by the violator.
When you say uncorrectable, meaning what?
Regardless of the amount of time that I give him, that they could not go back and correct that. So by him cutting the lock I can't make him,
okay,
he can't,
yeah,
go back and just put another lock on.
Yeah, okay, that, they broke the law. I mean, not a code. Okay, got it.
I have a question for the attorney. When you say other violations in general, or other violations similar to this one?
Hang on one second.
That's fine, because I think that's some pretty pertinent information.
And I asked the question. I asked that question because I think this name is familiar. I think we have heard this name before at this board.
The in October he was brought forth for noncompliance with previous code board order.
To answer your question, that third factor is any previous violations committed by the violator. And then further to note, as to uncorrectable violation, I just want to read the definition that's provided in the code so you all have that information.
Yes,
okay?
Please.
Okay, thanks.
Now, there's no bench warrant or anything like that issued to this guy yet?
No, the utility billings department signed a prosecution release, since they could not prove that he physically cut the lock off, so they have a greater burden to prove than I do. Whereas I can just prove that it's his property, that this occurred on his property, and he allowed it to happen.
So he's the owner, so until you take a picture of him cutting it.
Yes.
Okay, I see.
I mean, none of his neighbors would benefit from him having his water shut off or his water turned back on, so it's the burden goes back to him on that.
Of course.
Ms. Nix.
Thank you. The uncorrectable violation definition, that means that a violation which is irreparable or irreversible in nature and which cannot be remedied after the violation has been committed because the violation constitutes a single prohibited act rather than an ongoing condition or circumstance.
Okay. So we've got a motion and a second on the floor. Should we vote on this now? Any other discussion? I'm ready.
Board Member Capra?
Aye.
Board Member Poe?
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Herrero?
Aye.
Chairperson Criswell?
Aye.
Board Member Giltz?
Aye.
Board Member Robinson?
Aye.
Motion passes. There's no people here.
So, Rich, if he would come in and pay miraculously pay the $5,000 and catch up on all his water bills, then he's okay then, right?
He has other liens that are going against the property for the non-compliance.
Oh, okay.
From October.
Okay.
That's been running for probably about a year now.
Okay.
So one of the reasons we asked about that, on a property that's, I think, next to another piece of property that's adjoined?
Adjacent?
Adjacent.
Just right next to it?
Right,
okay.
Right next to it. I mean, can the lien stack up? Because if it forecloses, then it's an apartment complex. I don't know how that works. I'm assuming it's an apartment, correct?
This is a residence.
Oh, it's a residence?
It's a single-family residence.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It goes in order of filing, I believe, for the liens.
Let me...
I thought I saw apartment.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, I thought I saw apartment on that piece of paper that was given in as his address.
Maybe that was the where it was mailed to a number 900 or something, because
yes.
That would probably, and Officer McLaren could probably answer this for me, but the property appraiser...
Actually, I believe
the mailing address.
I just thought I saw apartment 500
there.
Or 504.
Oh, no. The address on there, that's the utility billing manager. That's where he lives.
Gotcha. All right.
Okay. I apologize. I thought you were talking about the notice.
But with liens, don't they go, say yes. They foreclose on the house, they go with the oldest lien mm-hmm. and then work their way up mm-hmm. to who gets paid?
And
well, foreclosure, if something's in foreclosure, it depends on whether or not a lien is a superior right. lien, which tend to be municipal utility liens, certain statutory liens. As far as code enforcement board liens, there's case law that provides that they cannot be superior in priority or dignity to mortgages. So generally speaking, code enforcement board liens are wiped out if a foreclosure proceeds to final judgment and okay. the property sold.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, generally speaking, I think you're talking about first in time, first in right, as far as when something's yeah. recorded.
Right.
It's literally who records things first.
Okay.
504.
This is case number 2018-CE-002867, address of 1013 Taproot Drive. The owner on record is shown as Cerbelius SFR Holdings 2 LP. The violation is City Ordinance 6-186, no fence permit. The date of service was December 12, 2018. Inspectors, myself, Code Officer McLaren. On November 8th of 2018, I received a complaint from Community Development reference to a fence installed and no permit showing on file. I performed an inspection on the property and found the new fence panels can be observed to have been installed on the left and right side of the residence. The notice of code violation was prepared, mailed certified return receipt requested, and also posted at the residence showing that it was a rental property. On December 12, 2018, as per permitting, no permit was shown on file or even have been applied for. The property City Hall were posted for code board hearing. Notices were also mailed out, first class certified, return receipt requested, first class mail, and no contact has been made with any party reference to this violation. This is not a great picture, but the fence panel will be to the left side of the residence. If you go to the next one, it shows this is to the right side. They're both pretty much in the same condition. I've had previous dealings with this property, so I do know that those were new fence put in by the owner of the property. And I recommend the property be found in violation of city ordinance as cited. Be given until February 15th, 2019 to come into compliance, or a fine of $50 per day be applied.
Do we have any questions for Officer McLaren?
It was just those two panels put in?
Yes. As far as I can see from the roadway, however, the threshold for a permit is anything over $100 requires a permit to be obtained. And basically, from my knowledge, just one panel is $100, not including labor.
So they didn't get a permit to put these two panels in?
Yes.
Okay.
After the fact?
If they apply for it after the fact, of course, they would have to pay some extra fees on top of it for having done the work first.
Did someone report them, or you just happened to notice?
The neighbor reported because he believed that the fence panels may have been going onto his property line, which I told him would be a civil matter for him to take up with them. However, I can look into the fact of them applying without having a permit.
Okay, so that was the thing.
Were there ever panels there at one point?
There was at one point. The house had been in for sale for some time, and there was a real estate company that was watching over it, and I had to keep calling them to get the grass cut. And I'm pretty sure they just swapped it out for new panels to put in.
Is there a pool in the backyard?
I'm unaware.
Now, the panels never exceeded what they were before, and so they exceeded into the other owner's property line.
And that's why he called into community development to make a complaint.
And he never complained, or he did complain, but nothing was ever cited before.
Well, I don't believe that the existing fence panels that were there before went onto his property. He made the complaint because of the new panels he believed went onto his property.
Okay.
Any other questions for Officer McLaren? Any discussion between board members? Any motion?
I find of the violation imposed. Okay, let's see. I move to find a respondent in violation of city code in order that the respondent be given until
February 15th is what
they're February 15th to correct the violation. In the event the respondent fails to comply to this date, a fine of amount of $250 shall be imposed for each day the violation continues thereafter. If the code inspector has reason to believe, violation presented serious, and there is no person here to...
There's no respondent here.
No respondent, okay. Okay.
Was the fine $250? That seems kind of high.
It's noticed 50.
Just 50, okay. Then I make
$50.
$50.
Yeah.
Do I have to make an amendment to change that, or
you're fine? It's okay.
Okay, $50.
I'll second the motion.
Okay.
All right. So we've got a first and a second. Any discussion?
No.
Do we have a roll call, please?
Board Member Robinson.
Aye.
Chairperson Criswell.
Aye.
Board Member Capro.
Aye.
Board Member Giltz.
Aye.
Board Member Poe.
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Herrera.
Aye.
Anything else to talk about? 600, 700, 800?
I have an item for you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
It has been a pleasure to serve on this board for the time that I've been with it and along with other boards here in the city. But as you all well know, my grandson is suffering from his fourth brain cancer. He is currently scheduled for surgery either in March or July of this upcoming year, depending upon how that growth goes. However, it will not occur here in Orlando. It will occur over in Tampa. And I certainly want to be there with him. His parents both work and need to, so I'm going to have to resign my seat on this chair because I don't believe I will be able to give it adequate time. And I appreciate the city allowing me to do this, but at this point in time, I don't believe I'm going to be able to meet that capacity. So I'm going to have to, this will have to be my last meeting.
Well, Mr. Poe, I can say that the board appreciates what you've done. The city, I can tell you, has appreciated what you've done. The county has appreciated what you've done. I think a life of civil servants has been given from you, and you've given back more than you've taken. So we appreciate it. We hope that Robbie pulls through on this one, and I think we'll all be rooting for you.
He's a fighter.
There you go.
Will you keep in contact with the board to let us know?
Oh, absolutely.
Prognosis.
This next weekend, he was supposed to survive 14 months. This upcoming weekend, we will celebrate 4 years of his life.
Wow.
Mm. So, yeah, I'll certainly keep chairman informed.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, sir.
Yeah, at the city commission meetings over the past couple of months, there's been a lot of discussion about setting the time for the start of commission meetings. So the commission finally voted after numerous discussions, to set commission meetings at 6:30, to start at 6:30. The rationale for doing that was because that would enable more people to come out, because people were saying they can't come out at 5:15, or they certainly can't come out at 5:30. If they give them a chance to eat dinner and then come, maybe more people would come. So the question was raised, does that apply to boards? And at that point, the response was that it's up to the boards themselves to determine whether they would want to revise their start times to meet what the commission does. So I would raise the question, if this board would want to raise its start time to 6:30 from 5:30, to, if using the commission's logic, to enable more citizens to attend these meetings, to attend these meetings, and potentially for more respondents to come forth. I don't know if they would, I don't know if they wouldn't, but.
I would say that we don't have that many that do come forward, and I would probably put it on to Captain and Officer to tell us, how often do you get a respondent that even responds back to you guys?
Well, I know as an officer, if somebody is calling these previous ahead of time, I try to work with them as much as I can before getting it here. This is my last ditch effort, and that's why a lot of times you'll see my fine amounts are always up top, because if I've gotten to this point, you've given it no attention. So if you're not going to get in contact with me prior to it getting here, chances are you're not going to come here.
Yeah.
And I would rally that this is the end of your guys' day and not the start of your day. And so I would like to keep it at 5:30. I think it's a fine time, but I would very open to anybody else's discussion or if they have obligations that they can't make it to here.
I'd like to keep it at 5:30 because I agree with that most of these people, that they aren't keeping up their property, so they could care less about this meeting. If they're not going to do it like this guy tonight, I mean, he's got lien after lien after lien after lien, and they just don't care.
If I could just mention one thing, too, and I wasn't privy to the commission's attention to the subject, but for the purpose of the general public, just to mention as to this board, as you all know, it's a quasi-judicial board, of course, and as far as public comment goes, there is no public comment. So as far as, unless somebody was coming to just sit and watch, they're either, I mean, if they want to speak, it's because they're either a respondent or called as a witness. We never open it up to public comment because there's a statute that says that quasi-judicial boards do not have to do that. And that's,
yeah, I think
that's
why
there is no public comment.
Took it off
comment.
Years ago mm-hmm. because of that reason.
So I just wanted to mention that.
And I think it's been a pretty hot and cold subject for the commission anyways, to change times.
Well, that's true.
I'm in agreement with the 5:30. I think we should stay with 5:30.
Vice Chair?
I'm good with 5:30, too.
I mean, personally, I'm also in favor of the 5:30. I just wanted to raise it because it was something was raised by the commission.
That was a legitimate thing to bring up. Yeah.
All right. So we'll keep it at 5:30. Any other discussion between us?
At least we didn't go on for an hour and a half about the starting ending time.
And 3 months.
At 3 months to get this done. This is what we can do when you want to get it done.
Any other discussion, comments, questions, concerns? But with that, I will adjourn us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Poe.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. I got a moint. Counterpoint.
You're right.
I thought they were going to compromise.
Okay.
So now we have two positions.
Thank you for your words of wisdom.
I've been busy.
It's so simple.
Your words of wisdom.
I didn't want to do that before because of that.
We do a lot of mean
sunshine.
I guess that's good, too.
When it comes down, they say
we want to foreclose.
There's a big deck.
We do not want to own a home.
Okay.
You know what happened? The city goes to foreclose,
the bank jump in.
I live on Silver Creek, right on the corner.
To keep it going, because if the bank ends up owning it,
as soon as you turn that corner,
closing on it,
okay.
Fifth house on the left hand side. I got a big deck.
And it's usually by the time
you live.
No, he lives the next street over, Bonita.
I'll just go.